This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
Did you shut up? I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me your sandwich.
Give me your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is July the 18th, 2007, and we're all here, well, except for Andy, but we're all here
we're all
for another
thrilled.
Edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock Eastern Time, taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com.
And Fred, you should tell everybody that I've returned.
Well, and we're going to get into that.
So
it's going to be a large portion of the show.
I feel bad for the fans that had to endure this show without me the last couple of weeks, but
all
I'm
right.
back.
All right.
You've
Everything's
returned.
Okay.
I haven't been on here for a month.
I don't think anybody
Eric's
cares about that.
Eric's just back from Italia.
No one missed that, kicker boy. Come on.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Fred, Eric with a K, Tom, Paul, Gary behind the booth, Andy.
Gary's actually in the booth.
Was this a scheduled vacation for Andy? Did he request this?
Yes, Monday through Wednesday.
From me?
That's up to you, Fred. If you can't keep track of your own situation.
Did he say that he told
you? It's kind of ironic, though.
Why?
All of a sudden, you decide, did he actually request this vacation day?
I think people have been getting on Fred's butt about vacation time.
HR's starting to track this stuff. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
So you actually put it in with HR?
Eric's in big hot water with HR.
Well, Eric's taking 30 days vacation.
He hasn't been here since the last time he was on the radio.
I haven't seen him since May.
And by the way, just so you know, your presence hasn't been lost on the radio. You've been the topic of quite a few emails.
A lot of emails.
None of them have been good.
And not a lot of them have been positive.
Bring it on. And by the way, where's our free food? Last time I was on the show, all I heard was we're getting free food, and we didn't.
Today, I believe our boy.
Where is it? So you're on twice, and both times, no food.
So far.
And
I don't think that's a coincidence.
See, food wasn't expected the last time. We didn't have anybody saying that they were going to give us any food. This time, we did have somebody.
You were telling me the whole
I believe
week.
It was. Was it Eric? In Manchester, New Hampshire, I believe. He was the one that promised
on,
us food, so
is
I,
Gary
I have,
on the phone for
I have no
right
doubt
now?
That he'll take care of us. He might be on the phone right now.
All right.
As we speak, this could all be right. breaking news.
Well, you know, we've got 2 hours. Eventually, I want to get into Tom's wedding a little bit because
that was
you
the most
guys
important.
Didn't talk about it
quite
last
a,
week.
I wasn't.
Yeah, well,
here
Fred,
last week.
Oh, Fred no. blew us off last week. It was just me and
oh, okay. I have
and yes, we did talk about it.
But how could there not be stories?
Tom is now a wedded man.
Yes, and I'd like to tell my side of the story.
By the way, everything all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why, is he still married, you mean?
I don't know.
See, why? What happened? Everything's okay.
Okay.
What happened? What do you mean?
I don't want people knowing my business.
I already know your business. I want to know from you.
You don't know none of my business. If you'll notice, I never talk on the phone at my desk, ever. Ever. You know why? Because Andy Hart's always lurking. You say one, make one wrong move and he'll be all over you. I'm always out in the hall talking on my cell phone.
I will say...
He used to like big salads. Now he likes plain breasts.
Tom's cube was previously occupied by me, and I will tell you that he is absolutely right. You never have a phone conversation at that cube unless you have no problem with every other person in the office being privy to that conversation.
And you know how weird I am.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of that, wandering around cell phone calls. Remember my secret dealings with the Herald back in the day, Fred?
Right.
Those were always cell phone calls. Kept hush-hush as they may be, quiet as they may be.
I have some interesting Herald stories that I'll tell you.
Really?
Involving Murdoch
the closure?
Thinking about buying Dow Jones.
I know.
It's going to have a big effect if it happens.
Bad?
In the Herald. Actually... Individually,
I didn't really
overall
know.
For the company, it could be good.
Yeah,
but for some people, it's going to be real bad, real bad. But okay, anyway,
would that person's initials be PP?
No.
Okay.
It's more the press people that's going
to
be really
not the real PP, by the way.
Are we supposed to be hearing the emails coming in?
I don't know, but we sure are.
I think that's Gary's thing, right?
Oh. All right, well, let's get to some Patriots talk, just in case people that are tuning in wanted to.
It's not like anything big happened or anything.
Well, the big news is Asante Samuel obviously could not reach an extended contract agreement.
Well, the really big news is Justice Hairston signed yesterday.
Yeah. Well, we did have a flurry of rookie signings, which is good.
Allegedly.
Yep. But let's start it right off with the Asante Samuel. The deadline passed to sign the to get an extended deal done. So now he has two choices. He can sit out and wait, or he can go and sign this franchise thing for $7.8 million. Guys, what's your take? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think Paul and I are on the same page here. I don't think it makes any sense for him to sit out and not only lose that kind of money, but as Paul was talking about earlier in the office, you're never the same if you sit out 9 weeks. I don't care how many sprints you run, how many bench presses you do. If you're not on the football field, if you're not training with those guys, you're never the same. And right. He's going to cost himself money right now and in the future if he sits out. So I don't think it's not even a choice for him. I don't believe.
Fear of injury?
He can always get injured. Right. Always.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's what he's thinking is I'm eliminating 9 games worth of injury risk.
Right.
Because if the way I read the CBA, I know there's been some question back and forth, but I think it's 10 weeks. After 10 weeks, he has to come back. He can sit up to 10 weeks. And in the Patriots' case, that's 9 games because right. The bye week falls in there.
Right.
So, yeah, he eliminates 9 games of injury risk. But I agree with Tom. You can't possibly be in football shape when you come back. And, yeah, maybe you're not at a bigger injury risk, but how can you possibly be at your peak?
You might even be for those remaining 6 or 7 games.
A greater injury
risk. You might
be
greater injury risk because you're out of football.
You could certainly make an argument for that. But I just look at it as if you're Asante Samuel, you have to try to put yourself in the best possible position to cash in. And in my opinion, just my opinion, I think that Tom and I, like Tom said, we're on the same page in this one. That would be to get back at some point into camp and play a full season and try and put yourself in the best position to succeed. And that way you go out and you have a season. No one's saying you're going to go out and intercept 12 balls again like you did last year counting the playoffs. But you play at the highest level that you can play. Hopefully you stay healthy for your sake, and then you're an unrestricted free agent again.
Do we have any definitive sources or reports about what they're asking for and what the Patriots are offering? Do we know?
I think it's kind of been all over the board a little
bit.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. Do we kind of have an idea of where the difference is right now?
Well, he wants Nate Clements money, right, in that area.
But that's even kind of a nebulous thing because what is Nate Clements money?
Yeah.
You know, that contract is so skewed.
Yeah.
You know, and we know that, you know, it's on paper, it's eight for 80. Well, we know immediately he's going to get a roster bonus next year that negates the last, I want to say, $16 million of that for the last year. So it immediately goes to 7 and 64.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it really is? Or, you know, who knows?
But a report said he wanted like $30 million.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Now here's where I'll say, you know, and we spend a lot of time on this show. Well, not a lot of time, but we talk a lot about the various different media reports, and we shoot some down. Mike Reese has been, I think, one of the more conscientious guys in terms of covering this story. He had stuff. Who knows who his sources are? You know, he's got sources just like everybody else. I kind of think that he's not the kind of guy that throws it out there, Fred. He wrote that Samuel was offered a $13 million signing bonus and a 5-year deal with an average of $6 million per, but did say that it was backloaded.
Okay.
Okay? So the big money was in the last 2 years, which he probably would never have seen. Okay? Wonderful job by...
Oh, Gary wonderful just job. Walked in...
And this is an order.
Six boxes of wings.
This is an order to end all orders. This is from
gigantic Pepsi.
From
it's gotta be Eric.
Oh
Eric,
my God!
Eric in Manchester, unbelievable.
Yeah. Eric is now right up there.
Eric has set the gold standard. Two liters of soda,
which that just goes beyond because we get that free anyway.
Two large pepperoni pizzas, two large buffalo tenders, two large fries, mozzarella sticks, cinnamon sticks, and Tom's
salad.
It's so funny. Wow. It's so funny watching Gary walk in.
Wow.
He's got all this crap with a little sub
on
top.
You know what, Gary? Do we have a list of the people who have bought us food so far?
I think it starts and ends with Eric.
Well, no, but I'm just saying we should send them Patriots Uniteds.
I thought you were going to say we should take their Patriots United's back.
No. We should send them something.
Shame on them.
We should send them a Patriots shower curtain or something.
You know,
here's a little something for you.
Wow, this is good.
Beautiful. This is certainly above and beyond the
made
call.
Up, right. Made up
but
last.
Getting back.
The last 2 years probably would never see. Now, the same story, Mike had quoted that Samuel was looking for something along the lines of $30 million in the first 3 years, which obviously is a pretty high amount, but in line with the Clements and the Dre Blythe and those kinds of deals. The question is, Fred, can they make that more of an evenly spread out deal with the $13 million up front?
Yeah, see, I would think they should.
You know, because if you're going to just backload it, then I understand why Samuel would be reluctant to sign that.
I think, I was thinking in my car what deal I would give him. That's about what I decided. I was thinking $12 million guaranteed and about $5 or $6
million
per year.
Well, you need more guaranteed than 12.
Well, they're only guaranteeing 13 in that deal that you just said.
Yeah, I know, and I don't think that's enough.
You don't think that's enough?
I don't think
that's signing bonus?
That's probably not what they're looking for.
Well, why don't you do this then, Paul? You give them 13 or 12 as a signing bonus, but then the others are roster bonuses.
Yes. I agree. No, they could do something like that.
But I think the bigger question is, are we starting to see the end of the franchise tag? The next time these guys go to the table, are they going to try to get rid of this? Because right now, it seems to me like it's irrelevant.
It's an interesting question.
Yeah, but Fred's boy doesn't lose any money from that franchise tag, so I don't see that going away.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying from the player's side, every time you franchise a big name player now, they don't want to be franchised. Asante said, well, they don't understand how much money I can make. He was talking about the fans on ESPN. They don't understand how much money I can make on the open market. Well, that's not the rules you guys agreed to. You agreed to a franchise tag. It's the team's right to franchise you. That's the that's where I have the problem when the player's getting all.
It's a balance because, you get teams and fans, complaining about free agency. Oh, we get these guys for 4 or 5 years. As soon as they get good, we lose them. You know, this was a way for teams to kind of place a tag on a guy, who is important to the team and keep him there. But I think it's been kind of the whole usage of the franchise tag has kind of been warped a little bit.
Yeah.
And
you know what? That's a very good point, Fred, because don't you think that the basic, intent of the franchise tag was the truly franchise player, the quarterback?
Maybe a preeminent
Lawrence Taylor
not
type.
Not Corey
Redding.
Right.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be a kicker.
No.
It's not supposed to be an Asante Samuel.
Exactly right.
And that's no disrespect to Corey Redding, like Tom said. That's no disrespect. Redding's a good, solid player who got a good contract, by the way. But it's not supposed to be that kind of player. In my mind, if it was reserved for the elite, then maybe it's not such a bad thing.
Right.
Now, we understand the whole thing with the security, but quarterbacks aren't going to get cut.
Right.
And quarterbacks aren't going to get cut. So,
right. No, so
it's just
it needs to be revamped a little. I understand the spirit of the law, and I think that's why both sides, decided on it. But it just gets, with every rule, there's always the loopholes. And, one team a few years ago started, reusing the franchise tag in a different way, and it just caught on. To Bucky Jones should not be a franchise player.
Yeah. And like Tom says, I don't blame the teams. I don't blame the teams for using all the chips that are at their disposal. Certainly not. I don't blame the players for being upset. And I made the comment, in my commentary that'll be in the next issue. I've talked to players over the last 8 years in that locker room, from time to time about, off the cuff kind of conversations about the franchise. I have never had one guy tell me one remotely good thing they thought about the franchise tag's existence. And with that, like Tom's point, if that's the case, why don't they do anything about it? Why do they not try, instead of going after every last penny of the gross revenue,
right,
like they did, and they did a good job with that, like you pointed out, with Upshaw certainly increased that, but there are other aspects.
Use that, get rid of that,
In my opinion, the most important aspect for players, for the existence of the Players Association right now should be free agency. That, because they don't have guaranteed contracts. The vast majority
make your money.
The vast majority of them don't get lucrative signing bonuses. So the only way that they can make money is to become an unrestricted free agent and have your services be bid on by 32 teams. this is an aspect of free agency the franchise tag.
Yes, it is.
And they ignored it.
Yeah.
So they have only themselves to blame.
I agree.
It'll come up next time. One thing I think to keep in mind, you mentioned that ESPN article, that the interview that Asante Samuel did. It's on page two today. In there, he references, Samuel does, and admits to having talked, I think, weekly or at least very frequently with Deion Branch this offseason.
Yeah, they're close.
So, yeah, but it, I think that's an interesting thing to keep in mind when determining what he's going to do, how long he's going to sit out, you know, what it's going to take. I think having learned from what happened last year with Deion, I'm not sure if Samuel's going to want to come back.
Well, the question is, what have the Patriots learned from the Deion?
Well, and the difference is, though, we're talking about a different amount of money.
Well, a lot. Yeah.
And a different situation. Yeah. Deion Branch was under contract.
I mean, $8 million compared to what was Branch, a million something? That's $8 million is a lot to leave on the table and come back. And, you know, I don't believe on this team you're going to be welcomed with open arms, at least from the coaches.
Well,
is that safe to say? I don't think the coaches are going to be very happy with them.
You know what? It's just business. I think they the coaches...
Not the players. I'm talking about more the other people around the organization.
I understand, but I think they understand that that's his personal business. Once he comes here, as long as he's doing
what he's supposed to... But on this team, isn't the coach very directly involved with the business?
No, he is, but...
But I think he understands that it's a business.
He understands.
So he doesn't hold anything.
I don't think he does.
I think the key there, Tom.
I think when you get a guy like a Ty Law, who calls the coach a liar during.
But that's a perfect example.
But they
didn't
made
matter.
Up. No, they made up. But during the time, I'm sure he wasn't too happy.
They made up because Ty pretended
never
it didn't
come
happen
out and said things personally about Bill Belichick.
So
or
you're
Scott
saying, so you're saying as long as they don't take cheap shots,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's business. It's business.
And I also think, Tom, as long as they think Samuel is the best case for them to help them
win, yeah, right?
I think that's all that Bill cares about.
Okay.
Right.
And you know, rightly so.
Yeah.
So
I don't think you would want a.
Well, that's what Belichick does better than anybody. He does what his job is supposed to be. He only cares about winning football games. He doesn't care about making people happy. He doesn't care about all the touchy-feely stuff. All he cares about is winning games, and that's what he gets paid to do. And that's why he's the best at it.
If he doesn't win those games, he won't get paid anymore. So.
All right, let me just interrupt for a second for some of our
Tom. You got a bulletin?
No, just our PFW tomfoolery. PFW in progress tomfoolery.
All right.
We probably should end our little joke at this point because this is the second time, by the way, that our current lunch buyer has done this, and the reason why he's doing it again is because we kind of ignored it the first time.
What?
So we thought we'd have a little fun. It's actually Matt in Dover, New Hampshire.
Matt in Dover.
And he's bought before, right?
He's some guy. Some guy in New Hampshire, you know, the one who always backs me and hates you.
Oh, okay.
That's why he's, you know, obviously gives us a feast
this. If Matt wants to send this every week, he can hate me as much as he wants.
But we were, the Eric in Manchester was kind of a little tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, okay. That's the guy.
It was Matt in Dover.
Matt says he wished Paul punched Jake Steele when he was defending the Upshaw.
What is Fred?
My wife is from Dover, New Hampshire, so that's nice. You know?
Not in Harrisburg?
Not in Harrisburg. She's not from Harrisburg.
I know she's not.
She's from Dover. All right, let's take
Might
a break.
Time for a quick break so I can shout.
We'll be right back. Matt says he wished Paul punched Jake Steele when he was defending the
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's going to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save! Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's going to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save! Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Jerry Zolak. What's up, brother? That supple should be there by 12:30.
Like to
all Papagenos and yes. Directed it to you and your name at a radio ops down underneath. So hopefully they delivered there and know how to get it down there. But keep an eye out for that. Your name, Bill to you. No, I'm kidding. That's on my credit card. All right, dude. Enjoy. Hopefully it'll say something nice about me.
All right. Back here in PFW Progress, another shout-out to Matt and Dover for a huge feast here.
Absolutely. And Gary was the only one, if you recall, that remembered that it was actually Matt in Dover the last time that he bought food for us, so we had to make sure we did it again so we all recognized the generosity.
All right.
Well, Matt and Dover, you're the man.
Thanks, I also want to thank people for their patience during that extended break.
Yeah, did you fit in another commercial there?
Well, just so you know, Matt gave us so much food that we didn't even put a dent in it.
I know.
Despite that eternity that we were on.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. So we started off talking about Asante Samuel. So predictions, guys, what do you think he's going to do?
He'll be here week one.
By the middle of August, he comes
two
back.
Two preseason games and
I think it goes into the season.
Into the season?
Yeah.
See, I think if it goes into the season, you might as well wait for the 10
right.
weeks.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
You know, so
if you miss one game, you might as well miss nine or whatever
it
ends up being.
I think he's going to come back during training camp.
Missed the first two preseason games.
Yeah, there'll be some face-saving type of agreement. You know, and I know the Patriots aren't willing to say, we're not going to name you franchise, you know, put the tag on you next year.
Do you know that for a fact?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, but
I was just wondering if you had talked to anybody.
I would assume if they were, that would have already done, that would have been it.
Yeah, no, I would assume you're right.
Yeah.
But I just was wondering, because that whole thing with Adam kind of hangs over my head. Did they or did they not make that agreement with Adam? I don't know. And, like, you know, I've said it on this show many times. No one in the front office, no one, you know, who would know definitively has ever told me that, but that people do say that they the last time, because they franchised them twice.
Right.
And evidently the agreement was they wouldn't do it a third time.
And that's why he wasn't happy in the whole he wanted to leave.
They never had a chance.
They never had a chance to, there's a lot of innuendo. There's a lot of he said, a lot of hearsay.
I don't think he likes the Patriots at all. That's my own personal
Samuel?
Opinion.
He doesn't know. Adam?
I'm talking about Vinatieri.
Adam thinks that the team railroaded him. Now, whether they did or not is not the argument
right.
for the show.
Adam thinks
that the team blackballed him.
He can't stand him. That's what I think. As far as Samuel goes, let me ask you now. If he makes $8 million this year, they franchise him next year to be about $9 million?
Probably, yeah.
Now, that's guaranteed, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that $17 million in guaranteed money?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 2 years.
So in 2 years... I don't understand what the problem is.
If he breaks his leg, he ain't getting franchised next year. If he breaks his leg in week one, he's not getting franchised next year. And that's what he's thinking about. I can get the contract right now, or I'm going to get guaranteed, say, let's split the difference.
He can't get the contract right now, can he?
But he is a free agent, so that's what he's trying to.
Or
he sit out.
Or he can try to negotiate with the other teams, and they have to give up the two first-round
picks. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's a free agent, even though he's a franchise player.
Who
a free agent.
Who was the lineman that got franchised like 2-3 years in a row?
Walter Jones.
Yeah.
He beat the system.
Right.
He stayed healthy.
And he made a lot of money.
And he was upset about it all along the way, and then he ended up laughing all the way to the bank because he made three straight franchise tenders and then got the long-term deal.
Mm. Yep.
Now, you can't do the three in a row anymore because it's really cost prohibitive. They've changed with the CBA.
I understand what Samuel's saying, but do we honestly think if he signs the franchise and hurts his knee, then nobody's going to give him any money at his age?
All depends on what the injury
maybe
is.
Maybe not the – well, I was watching a replay of Ohio State-Miami, and I saw a pretty bad injury to one Willis McGay, who by the way, has never been the same since. He's never had that speed that he used to have. And the Bills couldn't wait to draft him in the first round. I just think the injury thing is a little bit overblown.
That's the difference between being 21 and 27.
If it's a serious, serious injury, I get you, but
and
I still think...
How often does this happen?
What do you think someone's going to give? Obviously, that's a very serious injury, Tom.
But the point I'm making, Paul, is there's a lot of stupid teams.
I don't think anybody's given a guy who rips up his knee a major signing bonus and a three-year commitment that following offseason. I'm not saying his career's over. He'll still play. Someone will sign him, but he'll sign a 1 year veteran minimum deal. He won't get that kind of money.
Well, on the phone right now is Robert in Seattle. Robert, how you doing?
Hey guys, thanks for having me
congratulations on your wedding.
Well, thank you.
He's very excited about it too, Rob.
Very excited. All
right. You got the ball and chain, or do you have the handcuffs? What do you have?
Right now, I got a gun pointed to my head.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
it's awful.
Man.
It's awful.
Oh, woe
well,
was Tom.
I saw Tom out last week with his new bride, and he was all smiles.
Wasn't he beaming?
He was happy as could be.
Yeah, you know why? Because I saw Fred eating lunch with his wife. I couldn't believe it. I was in such shock. This is a man who never takes a day off.
You didn't
he's
know
eating
I
lunch.
Was there. I saw you before you saw me. And
you're talking about
Fred. Oh, that's right, because you saw me at Panera Bread. No wonder I was in a good mood. I love that place. I got to say, I take a pounding.
don't Robert, don't let him fool you. He's loving
life.
I'm just
curious, who's training who? Is the wife training you on how to be whipped, or are you actually training her on football now?
I'm doing some training, but I don't think you want to hear about it on this show.
Oh, that's where the handcuffs come in. Oh.
Oh, please. Who's the one who goes over the line every time?
Why?
Fred.
Why? That's a good joke.
That's
a good joke.
I thought it was a good joke.
It's just an image I don't want to
have
in my
head. You have to understand it. In order to do that, you have to be married.
That's
so
right.
I guess it's a married joke.
Well, I'm married.
You've got to get in it. Huh?
I'm married.
Paul's married. He didn't think it was funny at all.
He didn't think it was funny at all? Probably because it's happening to him. That's why.
All right. What'd you call for? Enough of this.
Okay. Well, you know, we were talking about Walter Jones.
But
doesn't anyone
want to talk football?
He was being franchised almost every year for almost 5 years.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 3 years in a row.
Yeah, and I seem to remember him coming in a week before training camp would start.
Mm-hmm.
He
would skip camp every year. Yep.
Yeah. But the man was pushing cars in his front yard and backyard all during the off season. You know.
But he didn't sit out 10 games.
And that's the thing that Tom and I are standing on. We don't think when push comes to shove, Tom and I don't think that he'll be willing to sit out the games, because I think not only he loses money, I think he loses marketability down the road.
Well, my biggest worry about Asante is that the one thing that hasn't been definitive is that, sure, he had one great season. He played in fill-in spots the previous seasons in the Super Bowl and all that. But the problem is, okay, he came back with this one season. Of course the Patriots are going to franchise tag him because, you know, to give him a long-term deal and to give him a huge money contract, you know, he should have been proving himself to be the number one starter the last two or three seasons, not just last season.
Well, didn't the Patriots, I mean, again, we don't know for sure if this is accurate, but according to the reports that we're reading, you know, Mike Reese's stuff in the Globe, the Patriots made a long-term offer that was pretty lucrative. You know, a $13 million signing bonus is a pretty significant amount of money, a pretty significant investment.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, they don't.
A year,
evidently,
for
they
the
don't
Patriots,
share.
That's lucrative.
Yeah.
For the Patriots, but if
no,
you were
because,
to,
well,
if you were to get some other player from another team and compare it to the other team,
how many cornerbacks in the league have signing bonuses with more than $13 million?
We're also talking about compared to the other cornerbacks that have been signed. It's not as lucrative as
I disagree with you.
Not
Clemens,
a
but when
player.
You look at Vasher,
Clemens is the only one. Vasher, Bly, those guys. It's. I mean,
it's
It might be a little bit less, but it's comparable. And I just look at it as the Patriots obviously don't have the same reservations about this guy as a player that the fans do. Suddenly, fans thought he was the greatest thing since Ty Law last year at this time. But now, now that he's holding out, he's going out against us.
For me, being a Patriots fan, I do not mind seeing the Patriots playing hardball with the players, because the players are going to hold them at bay no matter what. Now, Vinatieri going over to the Colts, yeah, I was really disappointed, but after hearing what you guys had just said earlier, that he felt he was being railroaded, no, I don't think so. I think it was a two-way street on that one, you know. He took his stance and he wanted to go and
more
money.
Yeah, but there was a reason why.
Do you know why?
Yeah,
do you know why he thinks he was getting railroaded?
No, I don't.
Because the agent that he had at the time was Neil Kornrich, who also had represented Bill Belichick in the past. Adam contended that Neil was not doing his due diligence in trying to get him a contract because he intended all along to have nobody offer Adam anything, and so he could re-sign with the Patriots at a discount rate as a favor to Belichick. That's why he thinks. Now, again, I don't know if this is true. I'm not saying that this is what happened, but this is definitively what Adam thinks happened. And in this case, that's more important. The guy thinks he was being wronged. So, I mean, if that was the case, don't you think that's a legitimate reason to be irked? That's why he fired his agent, and suddenly, within a week after firing his agent, he had offers pouring in. I mean, there's certainly, if you connect the dots here, it's not an implausible situation. I don't know if it's true, but it's not, to me, this way off the beaten path story.
I think the agent, Kornrich, that's unethical.
Absolutely unethical, and that's what he thinks he was blackballed.
Yeah. If it's true.
If it's true. But I'm saying that's. But Adam thinks it's true.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Well, the term railroaded to me means, or blackballed, means that he would never play in the NFL ever again.
No, for anybody but the Patriots.
Yeah, he was being backed into a corner is what he
thought.
Right. Yeah, but he wasn't going to play here again.
Well, thanks for the call, Robert, in Seattle. Paul, let me ask you a question.
Good stuff.
Remind me here. Ty Law's contract when he was here, he had a big contract that signed right around the same time Lawyer Malloy. They both had that big contract. I think Chris Slade had a big contract.
Ty signed his deal in 99, a 7-year, $52 million.
Yes.
Lawyer's was signed by Belichick.
Right. But while Belichick was here, Law was working under a contract that was signed prior to
yes,
that.
Yes, that's
true. Totally
Can
taken
you
out
name
of context.
A defensive backfield guy. Secondary, big contract that Belichick has signed. I don't think he has done
Lawyer Malloy.
Was that a big contract?
Yeah, it was huge at the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that was big. That was too big that he ended up cutting him because he thought it was too big.
Okay.
That's why he let him go.
Okay. Because
your point being that you don't think that he values that position for that kind
contracts.
Of salary.
Yeah.
You might. I mean, there might be something to that. I don't know. I'd be interested to sit down with Bill and get his take on the finances, his ideal,
right?
You know, his ideal salary tree. You know, you could have this for the quarterback, this for a pass rusher, this for a running back.
And he'll tell you, I don't have one.
No, I know. You're probably right.
You know?
That's what he'll tell you. But
do you think he has one? That's my question.
At this time last year, Paul, I wasn't a huge Samuel fan. You know, and you got to look at the pros and the cons. The cons are
Michael Vick.
Marvin.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second. When I said I said to Robert at this time last year for Patriots fans, I meant more in terms of like during the season when they were saying that he was better than Ty Law.
You thought that Samuel was better than I thought he was.
That's true.
And the cons are before that last game against the Colts, Marvin Harrison used to beat him like a drum. There's no question about it because I know the fans have been bringing that up nonstop. The thing that changed me. In my view of him, was last season I saw this guy developing as the year went on. And by midseason, by around that Bears game to the end of the year, I didn't see a better cornerback in pro football. The way he read people, the where he was on the field. That playoff game against the Colts was textbook cornerback play by Asante Samuel. Now, maybe he's not that good. I don't know. But in my eyes, I saw a guy start the year and finish the year. And at the end of the year, he was a much better player than he was against Buffalo.
And I was trying to rank him the other day in my mind. Not that I'm the expert on cornerbacks in the NFL. But I would say that there's no doubt he's top 10, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that he's so familiar with the Patriot system, and I think that vaults him into
adds
the
value.
Top five. You know, so I think for the Patriots, he is more valuable maybe than to other teams. Now, you know, you get these other owners that just like throwing money around to show their fans that they want to win. But I think the very fact that Samuel's so familiar with Belichick's system, and it's supposed to be this, you know, so complicated system, and he's a cornerback. And we all know that it's just hard to find really dependable, consistent cornerbacks.
And if we're going
that to me, then I said, okay, so based on top five, what do you give him? You know, and I was thinking what Paul said. You know, I was thinking at least $12 million signing bonus, at least an average of about $5 to $6 million per year for 5 or 6 years, but not backloaded. Make it even out through the whole thing. And to me, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
And if you're going by the guys that Marvin Harrison has abused, you're going to have a long list. Because that happens every week.
Right.
I saw Terrence Newman get killed by the Lions, Roy Williams. Who do you think was covering Steve Smith in that playoff game a couple years ago? That was Nathan Basher, when Steve Smith was wide open down the field. So cornerbacks are going to get beat by great receivers. It just happens. So I think that's a bad argument to say that, well, Marvin Harrison's had his way with them. Marvin Harrison has his way with a lot of people. I think if you look at last year, the way Samuel played toward that last stretch of games, he was as good as anybody in the league. That's just my opinion.
It'd be so interesting to really be a fly on the wall during these negotiations because, you know, it's just not as – obviously, it's just not as simple as this is what they're offering.
Right.
Because there's elements within the contract.
Right.
You know.
But Tom's line, I totally agree with, is from that Chicago game on, I have not seen the position played better. Maybe he's not that good. Maybe he just got into a little stretch that, you know, things were falling his way.
But
we can ignore the interceptions.
Right.
Okay, because we understand interceptions are largely circumstantial. Sometimes you get an opportunity, you hold on to the ball.
But when you get 10 of them or 11 of them, that's just not...
I know, but what I'm saying is he could have a better year next year and pick off four passes.
Absolutely.
Right.
We saw Ty Law do it many times.
Yeah, like I
said, Ty Law had some great years here.
During that Raiders game, the playoff snowball game I was watching, they showed Ty Law's stats. 3 picks, 70 tackles on the year.
Yeah.
Yet he had a phenomenal season.
No, the value of a corner...
And he really was terrific in 2001.
The value of a cornerback comes when the opposing offense has to account for your presence. You know, now
and like he did in the
limited their opportunities.
And in the Colt game, second half, you know how many passes Harrison got thrown his way? Not very many. They said, forget about this. Let's go someplace else. That's being a good cornerback
A good cornerback. That's when you start really adding value, you know, to your roster spot.
And if you're a guy like Samuel, don't you have to take into consideration, and I'm sure he is, but don't you have to take into consideration that you're playing on a team with a front seven that's one of the better ones in the
league? That's probably the argument the Patriots are making, is exactly that. It's like, look, you know, you're not doing this by yourself. You know, you stay here, and you're only going to get better because of Richard Seymour and Will Fork and Ty Warren and
You know what?
You know what the answer to that is from Shavers and Samuel? Well, because my client covered so well, you were able to get there in sacks.
And
who's to say that who's wrong?
Well,
now, I personally think the front seven is
right.
Well, I won't even say the front seven because I thought the linebacker play was okay last year at best. But the front three, I think, is arguably the best in the league. You know, with Warren, Will Fork, and Seymour. You know, certainly when they have passing situations and guys like Vrabel and Colvin are coming off the edge or whoever, I think they're pretty good. I think that they put I wouldn't say a tremendous amount of pressure on the quarterback, but above average. They're certainly a top six or seven team in terms of sacks year in and year out. I think it all goes hand in hand. You have good coverage, you have a good pass rush.
You know, we have this new thing now in our building with our network.
You just had to do it.
If you ignore your computer for 2 seconds, it locks you out. It's like a spurned woman. What are you looking at somebody else? And then she walks. It's like,
It's probably the worst thing they've ever done since I've been here.
Did you ever once have to hit Control Alt Delete and say to yourself, God, it's like a spurned woman? Where do you come up with that?
Well, it's like you don't pay attention to her for 2 seconds, and all of a sudden she's mad at you. That's what our computers are like now.
Well, I just want everyone to know, if anyone finds porn on my computer, it was me. It wasn't somebody else. So you don't have to lock my computer, because I'll take full credit for all the porn.
All right, let's get to some emails. Jesus, 12:45 already. Webradio@patriots.com. Last week, I think you and Andy, Paul, were talking about the odd man out receiver.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit.
Jonas says that you were spot on, Paul. While picking up a draft in exchange for Gaffney, Caldwell, or even Washington would be great, there is a bit of Trent Green / Dante Culpepper syndrome at work here. The trade value of any Patriot receiver is diminished by the fact that any potential suitor must know that anyone available is likely to get cut. So while in some situations and to some teams, Caldwell may be worth a third-round pick, a wise GM would just wait for the waiver wire.
Now, Paul, I won't put words into your mouth, so I'll let you respond. Who in God's name is going to trade for any of those guys for possibly Caldwell with a late-round pick?
But that's his point. That's his point, and that's what Andy and I were saying last week was that, look, people aren't, you know, the GMs around the league aren't dumb. They see the glut of receivers on the Patriots roster. They know they can't keep them all. Rather than even trade, you know, a third or fourth round pick, you know, maybe we'll give you a sixth round just to ensure that we get the guy, you know, a fifth or sixth round pick. But, you know, we'll just wait. You have to cut one of them.
Right, right.
And we don't care which one you give us. We'll just wait for you to cut somebody.
Jonas also says, I'm very excited about the PFW offseason acquisitions. The kid from Perillo A&M will hopefully develop quickly enough to replace Paul when he inevitably leaves for big money in free agency. But the other one from Ohart Dublin State should be ready immediately to compete for playing time with both Frank, a puzzling late 2006 signing, and Jake, an overhyped journeyman at best. All told, it seems PFW is well stocked to make another serious run at the buffet table.
There's no doubt about that.
No.
All right. Let me get to some emails that just came in since we started the show. Let's see. Oh, some guy writes in. This is Matt from Dover. He says,
Fred Sharper's a bowling ball. Yeah. He picks up on those things.
As the first two-time PFW
Eighth,
fan
time,
of the
he's
week,
all over it.
I would once again like to apologize to Jake for my comments before the 4th of July break. And once again, thank Gary for remembering the fact that I was once a PFW emailer of the week way back in March on the few times I wrote into you guys. Any congrats on the hot young intern fiancé? Who's that?
Hot young intern fiancé?
I don't know, but I wish I had her.
What?
Oh.
That would be me.
Oh,
you're
Gary.
A fiancé? You're not an intern.
Oh, no, his fiancé is a hot
you're not young.
Is that what they're saying?
No,
but Gary's fiancé is very hot.
Yes, yeah, and she used to be an intern.
Young and used to be an intern.
She's young and she's hot. Yeah. Well, what aren't you getting here,
He's
Fred?
He's definitely out, you know.
Oh, you're playing above the
rim. Out kicking my coverage?
I'm playing above the rim. But you know what? That's pretty much a comment that I could make about the entire cast here.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Gary's girl starts saying that she needs to see a personal trainer, watch out, Gary.
I'm hoping this spread keeps some guy fresh in your mind so my emails get bumped to the top. I almost forgot supermodel sub, but I quickly called back. And don't worry, I gave the driver a nice tip for bringing all that food to you guys. So on to football. I really want Randy Moss to keep the number 6 for the season. I think it would be cool and different, and the way he got it would be a cool story. I think it would make sense. What are the chances of this, and what's the deadline where he absolutely has to make a decision on his number? Is there one?
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I actually think it would be cool, too. Unfortunately, there are zero chance of that happening because the No Fun League has outlawed that. There's a receiver can't wear a single-digit number, unfortunately. Has to be a number in the teens or in the 80s. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll know, you know, as guys get cut during training camp.
He'll have to, you know, it's when
the numbers, Jonathan Smith, 81.
Yeah, he'll be 81.
Okay. Let's see. David writes in about Samuel. He's from Rocky Hill, Connecticut. He says, it's been a long time since I've emailed, but this has been my first chance in a while, so I decided to send this one in. I've been thinking about the Samuel situation a lot in the Deion Branch situation of last year. I think that the Patriots really screwed themselves here because now if they trade Samuel, they have set a trend/precedent that seems to indicate to players that they draft especially that if they are seeking long-term contracts with the Patriots, they will be shipped elsewhere. I think if they trade Samuel, then they will demonstrate to players such as Wilfork and Warren that they can get the money that they want by sticking to their guns and putting the heat on the Patriots. In any case, it makes me very down about this Patriots squad because I feel like I'm just waiting for another player with a contract problem to do this next year. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the guys you mentioned are the guys that they're going to try to sign, Wilfork and Warren.
Yeah. Those are two guys that are going to be on the horizon.
Yeah, I think the thing is, they have as many examples of guys they did sign as guys that they've had trouble with.
Richard Seymour,
I think that's the same
Tom
with every
Brady.
Team.
But here's the difference, and I do think there is an element to be fearful of in that email. If you acquiesce again now to Samuel the way you did to Branch, does that say, you know, to Wilfork and Warren, no, don't sign. I don't want to sign. I want to wait till I get to free agency, and then if the Patriots don't give me what I want, I'll just, you know, hold my breath and stamp my feet and get what I want.
Right.
That's, I think, the fear. Now, I think that Belichick is so smart and has the foresight to avoid those kinds of issues, but I do think there's an element of precedent here that you have to be concerned with.
Well, weren't we talking a year ago about the precedent set by Richard Seymour the year before where he held
this
out?
Makes three in a row.
Yeah.
Hold out, and you get what you want.
And you get what you want, yeah.
I think that's the fear if they end up trading Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which I don't think
is going to happen because I don't think anybody's going to give him the 2 first-round picks. You guys mentioned it earlier.
Well, they've had a lot of – I mean, Malloy kind of – he didn't really hold out, but they didn't get a contract.
He stuck to his guns.
And they cut him. Branch held out. They traded him. Samuel held out. We don't know what they're going to do yet with him.
Seymour held out, and they gave
and
him
they
what
gave
he wanted.
So there's been different examples of what they've done with these
people. All of which have worked out financially for the people involved.
But it always does, Paul. The player
it does?
Eventually always gets yes.
I don't know about that.
I think if you're a top-notch free agent, you're always good. One way or another, you're going to get yours.
But those guys weren't all free agents. Samuel's the only one out of the whole group that was a free agent.
But they were going, you know, when I'm top-notch player. Is what I meant to say.
All right. I mean, I just...
They always, in one way or another, they get it. They get theirs. You know? It's just some it's easier than others.
But would you be at all concerned if, say... I believe that Warren and Wilfork both have 2 years left on their deals. So let's say they both play out the 2007 season. Now they both have 1 year left. Would you have concerns if they both started talking about extensions and... weren't coming, you know, let's say they were negotiating.
I would be more concerned if they didn't.
Is Wilfork 09?
I think he's the year after Warren.
Paul,
you might
be
right.
I'd be more concerned if they didn't start talking about extensions. I want them to start talking about extensions, and I want the Patriots to sign the extension before the contract runs out.
Right, but what if they don't sign it, and they want more money?
I understand, but I want them to start thinking about that and talking about it.
I know they're going to start thinking about it. They were thinking about it with Samuel.
Yeah.
They had conversations with Samuel before he got here.
So, yeah, no, I wouldn't.
I know the Patriots are going to think about it.
I'm going to be more concerned if we get into that last season and they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
That's when I'm going to start getting
concerned.
That's
why I think the email was a little concerned.
Especially with defensive linemen.
But
in this system, you need those linemen.
But I don't think that's any different with any team. I think all the teams go through this.
Why do you always say that? We only care about the Patriots. Okay. That's why it's PFW in progress.
I'm just trying to balance people. You know,
we're not saying anything negative about the team.
Yeah, no one's saying
it's Fred.
What are we saying?
Anything but Patriots.com.
Oh, see, that's your little pot shot.
What do we
headline.
Say negative about the team?
Well, you know, the whole thing is the Patriots are doing it wrong.
No, why?
They've
why
won three Super Bowls in 6 years.
Setting a bad precedent. Well, what is
for the Patriots? Not for any. We don't care about anybody else.
I think this is the precedent throughout the league. This is how things work in the league. Guys hold out. Some guys don't.
But, what you have to decide is which guys that you don't want to do without.
And I think the Patriots have done a pretty good job so far of that. So as a
but
fan,
lately, it's been a little bit different. I know that they would rather have Deion Branch still on the team.
Yes, that I admitted. In that case, they screwed up. That backfired on them.
But that's the only thing that we're talking about. We're not talking about this long-term model. We know as long as Belichick and Brady are here, forget about whatever you use for your system of success.
Irrelevant.
It doesn't matter. They're all irrelevant. You have the one of the best quarterbacks in football and the best coach in football.
You
therefore, you're
going
to win. Okay? You take one of those two things out of the equation. I don't care what you use for your model for economics. You ain't winning.
I agree with Paul. The whole model of economics thing is overblown.
Crap.
With Belichick on the sideline.
I don't
with
smoke
Brady
Fields coffee house crap.
I agree with you about taking away Belichick or Brady in anyone's system.
Right.
But I don't think it's overblown. About right, well, let me managing the cap.
Let me ask you something.
Fred,
let me ask you something.
It works because of who's in charge. Just like,
I don't know about that.
Fred, listen, let me give you this. What's the exact polar opposite of managing the cap than
going.
The Patriots?
Yeah, but see, I think
the Colts.
Who does the exact polar opposite to the Patriots? Yet they've had the same success over the last
the
6 years.
The second winningest team in the last.
They're number two.
Because of who? Peyton Manning.
Because of Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy.
Exactly.
Tony Dungy's a top five coach. Peyton Manning's a top two quarterback.
They compete every year.
And as long as those two things are in place, they'll continue to compete.
Well.
Despite losing, you know, Dick Butkus or Cato June.
Well, again, that's really not that big a loss.
Right, because they don't care about those stiff players. They have four or five core guys, and they give all the money to them. The Patriots spread it all out. They couldn't be any more polar opposite.
Paul's point is right. They go about it a different way, but they both have great coaches and great quarterbacks.
Well, not
Washington,
but those are few and far between in the NFL.
Know,
Washington hasn't
not
failed.
Just one way to do it in the NFL.
Exactly. That's my point.
That was our point.
Washington hasn't failed because they've thrown all this money at all these players.
No, they can't.
They failed because they don't have a quarterback.
It's not the right people.
And they don't give it to the right people,
right.
B.
You guys are arguing and you're agreeing on the point. This is ridiculous.
No.
That happens all the time around here.
Welcome to the show, Eric.
I was going to say, if you really listen carefully, we started an argument, Fred couches his comments and changes in the middle, and then he says, you're making my point.
See, but one of the things, though, you have, knowing these guys as much as I do, mm-hmm. you have to understand that between the lines, it's all anti-patriot.
Can you believe this guy?
This is unbelievable.
Can you believe this guy?
Absolutely unbelievable.
Let's see. Vinny's from New Jersey, about 10 minutes from the Meadowlands. He says, since Tom could not eat his turkey sub sandwich last week, I'd like to send you guys lunch one more time. Maybe even
next
week.
I like to hear, baby.
We got competing emailers of the week.
So Tom can enjoy
Thanks could
his
not
sub
be
sandwich.
Any better here at PFW in progress.
Thank you. Who's that?
Vinny from New Jersey.
All right, Vinny.
And he can't wait for the show to go 4 days a week.
I can't either.
So there you
boy,
go.
Oh boy.
This We're going to get sick of Papagino's.
No more.
How about Panera?
No more.
I think we should start sending out some menus.
Yeah, Papagino's is all right. It's okay.
Come on, every week?
For free?
You said you like Panera.
For free, guy?
Yeah.
The least we should do
Papagino's
is
Papagino's is fine every
we
week.
Send our listeners.
This Eric
Papagino's
is tough.
Coupons.
You give him free food, he's complaining.
That's because he spelled his name with a K.
Does Papagino's know the you know, what I should say, advertising that they get on this station?
I doubt it. We should probably bring it to sales.
We should let them know. I mean, this is ridiculous. Matt from Cambridge, England. I know that this topic has been done to death, but I thought I would throw out some ideas on Asante Samuel. He is not is in capital letters, an elite cornerback.
Of course
he has
not.
The potential
Who
to
is?
Be one, but currently he is not, and I think that is going to be an issue which the team and Asante will disagree on. One season of good play doesn't move him into the category of Champ Bailey. Let's see another season like last year. Then I'll be more than happy to give him a Nate Clements-type contract.
No, you won't.
Also, after reading the ESPN...
Not if the Patriots don't give it to him, you won't be more than happy to give it to him.
Also, after reading the ESPN interview, I have very little sympathy for his belief that he is underpaid, seeing as how he mentions his four cars and the new house he's moving into. The Patriots are just suffering from the 49ers paying Clements way too much money, and having seen that, it's going to be really difficult for the two sides to agree.
Well, who is an elite corner?
Evidently, by the way, and I want to get to that, Tom, because we did that upstairs a couple of weeks ago, me, you, and Andy, when we rattled off all the corners. But evidently, the Patriots don't share the emailers' views about Asante Samuel's ability because they've, by all accounts, have offered him a very lucrative deal. So that's good enough for Bill. I'm with Bill Belichick in this one. I know you say I'm everything but Patriots.com. If it's good enough for Bill Belichick, it's
good
enough
for me. Yeah, I agree.
If he's offering him $13 million up front, I think he's a pretty good player. So I'm going to stick behind that viewpoint, much like my Steve Young views, Fred.
I'm so sick of hearing the elite cornerback. I used to see Deion.
There's one
get
elite cornerback, in my
by
opinion.
By Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, Champ Bailey has gotten killed by Randy Moss, T.O.,
And in my opinion, he is the only one
that
qualifies as an elite cornerback in the league.
But I think it's hard to go down these list of players and say, well, he's better than him. He's better than him. Like Fred said, there's different systems. And the fact that Samuel is successful in the system that the Patriots run makes him more valuable to this team than it would, say, the Saints.
And when we sat
and
did it.
Yeah, I agree with Tom, sure.
Tom, Andy, and I sat and did it with, I think we came up with 17 names. And it was a very unscientific thing. It was just basically, you know, like the emails give us the yes or no, true or false kind of things on the hot seat. We just said, all right, is this guy better or worse than Asante Samuel? And we just picked out names. And we had the guys like, you know, beyond Bailey, Rasheen Mathis.
Newman.
Terrence Newman.
Vasher.
Antoine Winfield. Nate Clements. Nathan Vasher. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name from Oakland. Ashamuga.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't pronounce his first name for the life of me. Whatever. You got that one, Gary?
Not going to work anymore.
That's
anyway.
One of those things where he's good because people keep telling me he's good.
Exactly. I don't get to see Oakland because Oakland's so bad we don't ever see them on any of the, you know, the premier
and
games.
He's up there because of all his interceptions last year.
But out of that, I came up with 17 names that I thought should be in a conversation with Asante Samuel. And out of those, at least half of them, in my opinion anyway, were not as good a player as Samuel was. And there was a few of them that I thought were better players. You know, Dre Bly was also on that list, guys like that. So to say that he's not that good, I think is disingenuous. I think if we had had this conversation last December...
Relative. I mean,
but it's not relative. My point, Fred, is Patriots fans, you talk about the computer being scorned. Patriots fans are scorned right now.
Because
in December, they all would have said that Asante Samuel was the second best cornerback in football.
Well, my point with relative is in today's NFL, he is among the great, you know, the top cornerbacks. Now, back in the time when maybe Deion Sanders was playing, maybe there were some better cornerbacks. But this isn't the age of the great cornerback in the NFL.
No, I agree.
There aren't a lot of them.
But don't you think that if we had this conversation in December, the majority of our listeners would have been writing in saying he's a top five corner?
Oh, absolutely.
But he didn't sign a contract that everybody feels is more than fair. And I agree, by the way, it's more than fair.
But I think the Patriots are offering him a top five contract. It's just not the top one.
Right. That's why I said I think
he
it's
wants,
more
there's
than
no question he wants more money than he's worth. He wants more money than he's worth. There's no question
he
about
wants
that.
More because he knows he can get more, but that doesn't mean he should get it.
Right.
Just because you can get it doesn't mean – look, I am not here to trash Asante Samuel, but I am backing the Patriots on this one. I know that probably surprises you, Fred, because usually when it comes to money, I'm on the other side. But I think that –
I got to write down the date.
I think $7.79 million is a lot of money.
102, Paul backs Patriots.
You should. You should.
All right.
Because I'm fair. It means something when I say it. It doesn't mean anything when you say it.
Oh,
you just throw it out
there. Here we go. Here we go.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong on that one?
Tom Canty.
Tom.
His mouth
what would
is
mean more to you
bar.
As a Patriots fan, if you were just listening, would it mean more to you to have Fred say something pro-Patriots or to have anybody else say something pro-Patriots?
I'll tell you why. It would mean something more to me if Fred said something negative about the Patriots.
Absolutely.
What? I told it. I just 5 minutes ago, I said that they screwed up on the Deion Branch.
A year and a half later.
See, that's where Paul's not fair, Eric. I said it at the time.
But Fred always shoots right down the middle. He's always the
he's not fair.
But you know what happens, Eric?
He's always the poster child for impartiality.
Even if Fred believes that at the time, we'll start getting on board, too, and Fred will see things turn into negative, and then he'll kind of change his argument a little bit just so we can keep it down the middle.
Well, you're right. Too negative is something that happens a lot here. All right, Marcos. Marcos writes in.
Not happening today, though.
Thanks for answering my questions in the last edition of the show. These questions popped up during a recent discussion with some friends, and we'd like to hear your answers. True or false?
True.
True or false, the Pats will sign a backup running back before the start of the regular season?
False.
False.
Okay. True or false, number two, if Brady gets really hurt during the AFC Championship game, but we make it to the Super Bowl, we could still win with Castle at quarterback.
False.
I say true.
Wait a minute. In the Super Bowl?
In the Super Bowl. Against an NFC team.
Because he'd only have 1 week.
I'm going true.
I mean, he has a short period of time. I think maybe if it was week 10 and Castle came in and started playing well behind a good team, but to have a guy who's never played come in and say,
they could do it.
I think they could do it. I think they could beat an NFC team.
And you think this show is too negative?
Yeah. By the way,
a guy who hasn't started a quarterback since high school, you think he'd win the Super Bowl.
It's just one game.
Now, if he got hurt in the divisional playoffs, Tom, do I think they could win the AFC Championship? No. I think they could beat someone in the JV ranks.
I'd be more concerned if
I know Brady that hurts you because Dallas is in the JVs. But
I'd be more concerned if Brady gets hurt.
I have nothing to go by. I haven't seen Matt Castle throw a meaningful pass.
I just think
against
what I would consider a mediocre to slightly above average team, which
well, let's
is,
just
in my
say they
opinion,
were playing the Bears last
the
year.
Best, that would be the best the NFC would have to offer, is, in my opinion, a mediocre to above, you know, slightly above average team. I think that Belichick could hide his quarterback.
I do, too.
Yeah, all right, well, let's use the Cowboys, for example, this year. Wade Phillips sending all those blitzes at Matt Castle. To me, I'm not comfortable
you're
in that
right
situation.
Up the middle.
They'd just be running the ball.
Yeah,
Marone's just like they did in 2001.
All right, and dump offs to the running.
Run
back.
The ball, get the ball out of his hands quick.
Now, could they win it with Testaverde?
We don't have to worry about the Cowboys anyway because Jerry's too busy building a stadium.
Oh, they're not going anywhere. They stink. I was just using that because
Testaverde
would
be in trouble.
So you don't think Vinny, but Matt Castle? This is interesting. This is interesting.
Five years
ago, radio.
I think one game against an NFC team,
absolutely,
he could do it.
Five years ago, I would say Vinny could have done it.
If they have to go through the whole playoffs with Castle, maybe not. But
no,
one game?
I say definitely not.
I think this is fascinating that all three of you think that Castle could step on the biggest stage in sports and win the game.
Is this funny?
I don't think Castle would be winning the game. I think the defense would be winning the game.
Well, yeah, I certainly don't think Castle would go out there.
He's not going to win the game. He's going to be like Trent Dilfer.
He's going to be like Brady in 2001.
Right, not losing.
Stay out of the way and don't make any mistakes. I think
they could do that. And hopefully they don't have to have a two-minute drive to win it.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's a good point, Fred.
Yeah. All right, so these next two...
Just one game.
Yeah, it's one game.
The one game is the Super Bowl. It's kind of a big game. I don't know if you've seen it recently.
The next true-false I have to set up, the question to Champ Bailey, to Asante Samuel. So who's better, you or Champ Bailey? This is from ESPN. And Samuel says, he laughs, he goes, you know me, I think I'm better, hands down. Me being a competitor, I'll never say any man is better than me. I think I'm the best out there. My play speaks for itself. So the true-false is, Asante was drinking heavily before that.
No, he was lying because he laughed first. If he really thought he was better, he wouldn't have laughed and just said me.
Okay. True or false, if Gostkowski and Miller get hurt, we could still make it with Scalavino as kicker and punter.
No question about it.
True.
No question about it. And he could paint his own portrait, too.
True or false? On May 31st, Steelers offensive line coach Larry Zerlin emailed an explicit sex video to several NFL employees, including Goodell. It was Gary who started the chain.
I know he was in the chain. I don't know if he started it.
Okay. And great job as usual. Congrats to Tom and his wedding. Cut Gostkowski and Miller. Give Scalafini, now your name's Scalafini,
well, you know,
a chance
names
to
change
free
now,
up
yeah.
a roster spot for an, a
yeah,
wide
he
receiver.
Can do both, you know. I don't know if you know this, but That's he didn't right. just kick. He punted as well.
And besides, Randy Moss would have to give me my number six back. Oh. So that's another reason why.
Now, how much are you going to offer him for that?
Nothing, because according to the league rules, he can't wear a single digit. So I would.
Well, we never answered.
I would hold out. I would hold out long
enough. Deadline that he has to declare what number he is.
I think it's.
That's why. That's why you offend me.
Is it the preseason?
I think
when you don't listen to me, that's why I get upset.
Why?
Because yes, we did answer that question.
What's the answer?
When the active roster is set at 53, he'd have to have a legal number.
Okay.
Right. Right. So he can go through the whole preseason with it.
Matt is transplanted in Oregon from Massachusetts. He says, do you have any info on the status of Dave Thomas? We heard a while back that he had broken his foot, but not much more. Any news on whether he'll be ready for camp? If he's healed up, I see him having a very good year. He probably won't get a whole lot of balls his way, but I think he'll be the kind of guy to come up big when we need it.
Well, I'm Mr. Dave Thomas. I love the guy, but he's not having a very big year this year.
I saw him the other day. He was in. I was on a little tour with an upper echelon person here, and he was in the training room getting that electronic stimulation to his foot, so he's out of a cast.
But the very big year, what is he, option number 14 on this team?
Right.
It's just I don't think it's time for him or Chad Jackson, for that matter. That's next year.
And I share Tom's enthusiasm, by the way, about Dave Thomas. I think he's going to be a nice player for him.
I just think
that he's not really any room for him right now.
In my training camp preview, I wrote about tight ends last week. I mentioned Dave Thomas making progress once he gets back from this foot injury. I think the only thing he needs to work on a little bit is his blocking, because as a receiver, I think he's shown that he can do that.
That's true. I mean, so, he's a pass-receiving tight end, there's no question.
Absolutely. So he works a little bit on that and gets his foot healthy. But he will be option number 14 or 15 this
year.
He'll
be the third tight end.
But he's someone to look for the future.
Keep up the good work. Congrats to Tom on the
nuptials.
And by the way, is Tom from New York?
Yes, I am from New York.
Not really, though.
Well, I hate everything about it, but I'm from there. I was born there and grew up there.
I don't consider Upper State New York, New York. It should have,
no, it's it two should separate. It's two separate things.
It should have a different name, I think.
Like, yeah, if you say New York anywhere in the country, they think you're from Long Island
New York
or
City.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
Let's see.
That is true. Why, you know, Long Island gets the inclusion, but no one else does.
Well, that's because you can usually tell someone from Long Island.
I think White Plains
they're a moron.
Yeah. Let's see. Dwight Bah Humbug writes in about Dwight Freeney. I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer.
There's a contract.
I just wonder what you guys think about the Dwight Freeney deal. I thought it was a good move by the Colts and a move they had to do to keep their defense from deteriorating. Great show. I see your show got much better since you now have a guy who both kicked and punted in Division
One
AA.
True. Kicked and punted.
Don't forget it either.
So you kicked as well as punted?
Both, yeah.
Really? What was your average punt?
60 yards.
You average 60 yards?
You have to subtract 10 yards for the line of, for the being back on the line of scrimmage.
What? So in the stats, when I look up Eric Scalavino, no, average
you,
punt.
Yeah, you won't find him. We already tried
that. We don't have this stat.
You were lying your ass off.
The internet didn't exist back when I played. So
we did some research.
That's why he's averaging 60 yards a kick, by the way.
If he keeps up this kind of talk, I'm going to call in some favors. No, it's not, because you add 10 yards.
Well, I want to know what you really average.
What's the average?
Add 10 yards to what Josh Miller kicks.
That's not how they do it. But that's not how they do it. Hey, Fred. In high school, I averaged 9.8 yards per carry. I'm adding 5 yards because my line wasn't really that good. Well, you gotta add 5 yards because I
thought you were adding 5 yards because you started 5 yards deep in the backfield.
When they say Josh Miller's punt was 45 yards, that means it was 55 yards because they're subtracting the 10 yards that he's standing behind when he actually.
But that's
the
how
ball.
They do it.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying. You
okay,
want to
so
know
you
actual
averaged
distance.
50 yards.
It's about 50 yards.
That's still amazing.
It was for a short time there. I was in a groove.
Is that
and
right?
I got hurt. Yes, I got hurt. I got hurt my junior year at BU.
Wow.
And was never the same after that.
You're averaging 50
yards. You know
yards
I went to
kick.
BU, right?
What's that?
You know I went to BU, right?
Of course I know you went to BU, and I know you know people who
I'll be
went
talking
there.
To some people in the sports information department very soon. I'll be getting to the bottom
what was your
of
longest? What was your longest field goal? Now, I know you have to, was it 17 yards, so what was it, 84?
No, relax.
So I can see Paul walks into the sports information department. He goes, you know, what's the guy's name? Carpenter? You know, I want to talk to you about Eric Scalavino, and all of a sudden the room gets really quiet. The guy sits down in his chair and goes,
he's full of shit.
I remember Eric Scalavino. He could have been a great player. And then he goes into this long thing. And
that's right. Could have been.
Just so you know, if that happens, I won't be coming back and reporting my findings.
Where is Andy Hart when you need him? Andy, if you're listening, and I know you're not, but please call in. 60 yards of punt. Wait till Andy hears that one.
Please. From a
and that was before steroids.
From a Division III running back, that's glorified high school junior
there we
varsity.
Go, the glorified right there.
And he wasn't even a starter.
No,
third
of course
stringer,
not. He's a scrub. This on is Division III.
Scrub?
What?
This is unbelievable. We have trash talking from a kicker. This is a first in my vast
well, with
experience.
With a 65-yard average, he can talk all the trash he wants.
Was it 65 or 70?
Now 85. What? Now what's your longest field goal that you ever had?
Longest field goal was in practice or in a game?
In a game.
In a game, 45.
How much in practice?
60.
About 80.
60?
Yes.
What are you, George Blanda? Holy crap. That's pretty good.
You thinking Tom Dempsey there? You just said George Blanda by accident.
George Blanda
was a kicker.
He was a kicker. Yeah.
I know, but he's not known for his long distance kicking.
No,
Tom Dempsey is.
All right, Dempsey. He had the steel toe.
It was
toe.
A long time ago. I was when I was a teenager, from like 17 to 20 years old. I was in a.
So you should be in the NFL.
What
basically, you should be.
What do you weigh like?
I like
you
how these records are sealed.
Am I wrong about
back
that?
Then, back
no,
then
he should be in the NFL.
Back then, I had a chance.
If you
back
were,
then I did.
If you were averaging 50 yards a punt,
he looks a little like Gramatica
and
had the
60-yard range on field goals, you should be in the NFL. Right? You should have been the Russell Erksleben of your day. You should have been a first-round pick as a kicker/punter, and you'd be in the answer to a trivia question.
That's what I was hoping to do before I got hurt.
What's this hurt?
I got hurt. I had.
He had his feelings hurt.
There's nothing more sad, Tom, than wasted talent.
So you're like in right up there with that could have been's with Bo Jackson and. You know,
went to BU, got redshirted my
Harry
first
Aganis.
Year.
I'm just going to sit back, and I'm going to wait till next week.
Yeah, when Andy comes back.
And I'm going to wait until
his Division III running
wait
back.
Until
why
the,
couldn't we have had this conversation about 3 weeks ago when I would have had time to really do the nonsense? Now that camp is on the way, I don't have time for this.
I went to BU.
I'd be over on Babcock Street tomorrow.
I hate to text message, and I'm thinking about texting Andy right now, just letting him know.
I don't even know how to do that.
I don't either.
You want to know the details. Those are the details. Wow. I got there.
We'll
I got redshirted. The second year, they brought the guy back for his fifth year, so I waited
who was
another
that?
Year. Mike Brown?
Don't know.
You remember Matt LaPolice?
I do.
He actually
big, tall guy, right?
They actually, yeah, big, tall guy he, from Nashua, New Hampshire. He was the punter my freshman year. And then it was the year that they had a punter for like three games, and then they had a tryout. And Sean McCarthy, you remember Sean McCarthy when he punted? He was a quarterback.
I'm not a big BU guy. I know Billy Donnelly.
Boring!
Bobby Daugherty.
I'm talking about the Patriots
Robert
now.
Robert Daugherty.
I'm talking about the Patriots.
Sean McCarthy
was a punter
for
the Patriots. He was also the backup quarterback. He wore number 11, and then they drafted Bledsoe, and Bledsoe took his number. Well, during that time when they took McCarthy,
they
Matt
were going
LaPolice,
to take you?
No, Matt LaPolice was the punter at BU at the time, and he had gotten called by the Pats to get a tryout here. Uh-huh. He
so where did you learn
down.
This skill? Did you punt in high school?
In high school, yeah. I was a soccer player as a kid. You know, my dad's from
Italy
so he
yeah.
taught me how to play soccer when I was a kid.
What can you punt right now?
I probably can't because I my back.
Oh, no. You can't kick at all?
I probably could, but I would hurt myself again.
You got to give him credit because it's not just some flimsy thing he throws out there. He's giving it thought. You go with the back
go with
injury.
The back.
The back injury is
hard to prove.
It's very nebulous.
Hard to prove.
What are you going to do with that?
What did you do to the back?
I'm starting to hate them as much as you do.
You've got to be able to take it.
What did you do to the
if
back?
You got to be here. You got to get
I'm
it.
I'm curious.
I heard it in.
I got to give you the nod. Back injury.
He heard it patting himself on it.
The peanut gallery.
Oh, Gary with a good one.
I can't prove it. I can't disprove it. You know,
I'll prove it.
Lifting weights and
all
over,
I can tell you is I will get those
practice.
Stats. 92-ish, 93.
You're not going to get stats. I'm trying.
So
to,
let me get this straight.
You never kicked in a game
Fred.
At BU.
Not at BU.
Let me get
no.
this straight.
Unbelievable. Now we got to the bottom of it. I don't even have to call in my friends.
Oh, we never kicked in a game.
Never kicked in
not
a game
at BU.
At BU.
No, I didn't.
Then where's the average coming from?
Practice.
Yes, practice averages.
Oh,
we
for
used
Christ.
To keep
we're
stats
talking,
in practice.
We're talking about
count.
Practice?
Practice. And just for
we're
the record.
About practice, man.
And let this be
not
known.
Not a game. Not a game.
One
practice.
Time when I was being a big shot, leg pressing 1,500 pounds, I destroyed the lower vertebrae in my back. yet somehow, some way, through the grace of God, I was able to leg press 1,500 pounds yet again. Eric hurt his back curling 25 pounds and was never able to pick up a football again in his life.
What do you think the over-under is on when Eric takes a swing at Tom?
Oh, man.
He ain't going to have to take a swing at me when the big man gets back.
This is going to be a long season to see how long it can go before Eric just loses.
See, Eric, you got to learn that you can't give Andy Hart bullets. You give him bullets, he'll fire them all day. Next time, just shut up like I do.
I'm not going to shut up. But please, for some scrub running back to play Division 3? What are you, crazy?
He was a linebacker, I thought, right?
No, he was a running back, I think.
Was he?
I don't know what he was. I know he wasn't good
at
either.
He was a fullback and a linebacker in high school,
I know he took a swing
at
Paul Kincannon during flag football here at
I was there to witness that.
Swing?
Yeah.
Really?
You want to consider it? Consider it.
It was very rough in taking the flag, and it kind of looked like he took a shot at him. So Kincannon's like, what are you doing? It's like, and Andy's like, what? You know, so they started going back and forth, and Andy's like, you want to consider it? Consider it.
They got right in each other's face.
Yeah.
When Fred was telling that story, I was thinking for sure an F-bomb was coming soon.
Because
there were some F-bombs thrown in that exchange.
Nice. But Andy, who would have won that fight?
What's the gabagool?
Kincannon.
I'm not sure who.
Big, but,
I probably know who he is. I don't.
Well, he's not no longer with
you. He was a tall guy
in
IT who had the haircut like you and I have.
Oh, okay. Okay, I know who he means.
Really good guy.
Yeah. Great guy, and he's huge.
Yeah.
He would have killed Andy.
At the time, he was really big.
You don't know.
He lost a lot of weight over the last year.
I think Andy would have beat him.
Oh, come on.
Why do you think Andy's tough?
Andy's pretty strong.
He's strong doesn't mean tough.
The guy's got a foot of height.
Why do you think he's tough?
He'll just sit on him.
At 5'6", he can only be so tough.
I've taken down taller guys than me.
Oh. Yeah, but you're a wrestler, Fred.
Wait a minute.
Who are you,
you're a wrestler, but he's taller than you.
Who are you, E?
But you know how to wrestle.
Shut up, Gary.
I got a friend named Shirley bigger than you.
Oh, all right, so everybody.
Hey, that's from The Honeymooners.
Yeah.
I got a friend named Shirley
I can't believe someone got that reference. Hey, Harv.
That's one of my favorite ones.
That's a great episode.
But Fred, you're
Buckley yesterday, right?
You're a former wrestler.
Yeah.
So you have those takedown moves. Being strong in a fight only matters if you get someone on the ground. If Andy can't get you on the ground, him being strong means nothing.
I think he would wrap him up and get him down and pummel him.
See, I just
disagree.
MMA style.
Like 10,000, I've never
ground and pound
little monkey fists.
The ground and pound in the MMA.
I've
get
never
on top
seen
and just start pounding.
Right.
What's MMA?
Mixed martial arts.
Oh, okay.
Where you get on top and you just start hitting the guy in the head. And
I've never seen Andy fight or anything like that. He just doesn't strike me as an overly tough guy in terms of being in street.
Could you
fights.
Imagine getting headbutted by Andy Hart?
No.
Well, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
The head would come off its neck.
That's a very good point.
He's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot.
You know, why I'm concerned with Andy's toughness? Because he seems to get tougher with the more he drinks. Those guys tend not.
He ends up in the toilet the more he drinks.
Those guys tend not to be tough.
I haven't talked about your wedding yet.
Went
in as a hot dog and came out as
orange
fire.
Andy Hart was a disgrace. An absolute disgrace. Everyone else pulled their weight. Andy Hart spent the night in the bathroom.
He did.
Got destroyed by Brian Lowe. Brian Lowe up to quarter to two.
That's a very good point. Brian Lowe.
I get you. Three planes. Can you imagine that? Three planes.
Back to back
went over during my vows. Three.
I did not hear one word you said.
Tom walks out.
Nobody did.
Tom
my mother
walks
didn't
out
hear.
At this wedding.
Talk about
this thing that Gary did. We should play this. Can we play this?
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have it, Gary?
I just want to set the scene.
Yeah, set the scene.
We're
I'm
going to
keep eating it.
Nice setting. You know, we got the rows of chairs with a walkway in the middle. Nice chapel up front, you know, where they're going to do their vows. And all of a sudden, we hear, you know, they're going to announce the bride and groom. And, of course, the groom goes first. And this is what we hear.
The limo pulls up.
The limo pulls up. Out walks Tom.
No, I'm in the limo with her in this.
Yeah, Tom's in the limo, and this is what we hear prior to seeing Tom.
As Tom Vasalli prepares for married life with Allison Brusso, let's take a look at what kind of man he is. Tom is a compassionate person, always concerned about the well-being of everyone around him.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
Known as a tireless worker,
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
Tom never misses a chance to interact with the fans of New England.
This guy has no idea what he's talking about. Listen, it's people like you that bring this show down. We don't want you. Stop emailing, stop listening. Don't ever email again.
And he always supports the team he works for.
Listen, the Patriots suck. They suck.
You think they're America's team? I'll show you America's team October 14th when we go down to Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys, baby. That's America's team.
Just ask Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Well, I think Tom's level and his standard is pretty special. I mean, I don't think I would put too many people in Tom's category, and that's not being disrespectful to anybody, I think, but Tom's, you know, he's exceptional.
Tom is a diverse person who has many interests outside of football.
I'm doing nothing. I have no interest whatsoever. I never want to leave the house. I just want to sit in my recliner, in my sweatpants, and watch college and pro football on a big TV. That's all I want to do in life.
He's extremely well-spoken.
I'm just going to say,
and could not survive without the support of his family.
Wait till I get a hold of them. You guys are more family to me than most of those so losers. I can't stand them.
And fear not, Allison. While Tom might not be a great catch, at least he's excited about getting married.
Oh, why am I getting married? God help me.
But what does Tom Casale think of Tom Casale? Just ask him.
I admit I'm ugly. I have virtually no talents at all in this world other than I know a little football and I'm strong. I'm not really good at anything. I can't do anything around the house. I don't have really any skills.
Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Tom Casale. Simply the best.
All right. So he comes down, and the lady in front of me goes, talk about stealing the stage on the bride's wedding day, poor thing. And then she comes down, you know, and it's the traditional entrance, and they start doing their vows. Every time, as soon as Tom starts talking, these airplanes start going above. So we didn't hear one word. All we can see is like...
Kind of like we didn't hear one word you just said.
Right.
I think you were probably better off not having heard what you said during.
Well, no, that was the one time you guys missed it.
You were serious?
That was the one time I was serious. I laid it all
out
there.
Your first line was, thanks for coming.
Yeah, that was the joke part.
You heard that?
I said, thanks for coming. And then I said, you stole my vows, which she actually did. I had to make something up on the fly because she stole pretty much everything I was going to say.
Did you say?
Ditto.
Ditto.
Yeah, what she said.
Like what she gave up to come here with me and how much I loved her and all the reasons why. But that was it. That was the only time you'll ever get that. And
All I remember seeing was...
No breakdown?
No.
And I talked about this with Andy last week.
No Andy Hart breakdown?
All we saw was the prototypical Italian guy from the back, and it was a lot of this. But this is why he's doing his vows.
People can't
hands
see
up in the air. No, hands up in the air.
I'm getting to it, Fred.
But,
as Eric just explained.
Gary,
I love when Fred all of a sudden plays the radio. I can't see it.
Trying to help our listeners.
That opening killed. People, I had to give Gary a standing ovation there at the wedding because everyone just kept coming up to me asking me, where did you get that? It was phenomenal. And as I predicted, 7 out of 10 people thought that Bill Belichick was talking about Tom Casale and not Tom Brady. So thanks, Gary. That was a great job. Everyone loved
it. Yeah, you introduced me while I had that gigantic sombrero on.
I didn't know you couldn't stand.
And then, Gary, you went downhill quick in that one.
Yeah, those gin and tonics are very tight.
Oof. Yeah, the place called me.
So were the 27 course lights you drank.
The place called me and said, for that package, we set a new record since he's been there 15 years, the most booze that they've ever been drank there, ever.
I know our table alone,
I don't think I've ever been at a wedding that many different people were inebriated.
He said
I don't think there was anybody that was sober.
He had to ask the bartender again if he had the number right because
it was
he couldn't believe all
that. Too, because you guys were going up and putting on performances for everybody.
I just wanted people to have fun. And wow. Fred, I got to thank you. That suit, first of all, that's the best I'll ever look. That's all downhill from there. I'll never look that good again. I've seen the pictures. That's the best I've ever looked. That suit fit like a glove.
There you go.
How'd you get the tie?
That's excellent.
Kyle, he's actually better than you.
What?
Paul, I hate to agree with Fred, but you got to get one of those suits. Phenomenal.
But what do I need one for?
But if you wear a suit.
You're on TV a lot. You need a nice suit.
I don't wear suits on TV.
Phenomenal fit.
Even the jacket. You mix and match. It's good.
Okay.
It's good.
I'll keep that in mind.
That's one of the idiotic things that Fred was actually right about.
I'd be like losing money for going on TV to pay for one of these gold-plated suits.
They're not that expensive.
Cost more than my house.
It was a good time. I'm glad you guys all came. We had a great time.
It was a phenomenal time. We had a great. Even my wife was. I wouldn't say drunk, but she was tipsy.
Well, really?
I knew we hit the jackpot.
Of course, I wasn't in any shape to take advantage of that whatsoever.
No, you were not.
No.
I heard about a conversation between you and my father in the bathroom.
I wanted to ask you about that. Did your father talk to you about that, or did Andy say it?
He said he talked to you in the bathroom. God knows he can't remember what he said.
I talked to your father in the bathroom for about 10 minutes, and I swear to God, there was not one one even remotely decipherable word from either one of them.
Because when Andy said that, I said, who are you talking about? Paul or my father?
Andy should talk. Well, it's because
Andy's a disgrace.
Forget it. At least I stood there till the end, took the bus ride back with my head held high.
Tom was smart. You know, he had, you know, we had the hotel, and then he had a bus, a school bus.
Yes, great.
You know, bring people back and forth because he knew people would be drinking. So I walk out of the
Andy couldn't
event,
even make
and
the bus.
I had a drive, you know.
Yeah.
And then I see Andy in the bus. And you know how, like, in the school buses, the windows only go down, like, halfway because they don't want kids jumping out. So I see this, like, huge noggin, like, trying to stick his head out
the
window.
Oh, look at that thing. It's like Sputnik.
It's like, Fred, can I have a ride? And I'm like, and I say to my wife, I said, no way. He's been having stomach problems. She's like, oh, I'll give him a ride. We gave him a ride. Oh, it's so funny seeing this big head trying to stick out through the window
of
the bus.
It's funny you said that you drive because I was in the limo at the time you pulled up, and I saw your car pulled up, and I'm in the limo by myself, and I just said to myself, effing Fred. Unbelievable. Has to drive his own car.
He had to use the nav.
But he had to use the nav. But, man, do I got a picture of Fred that will be posted on every blog and website I can get it on once I learn how to get it on the computer.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't have to worry that it'll ever getting on there. All right, webradiopages.com. We should get back to some emails, I guess. A little diversion to Tom's wedding. And, of course, if anyone has any questions about any individual anthems, we'll be happy to talk.
But I knew we hit the jackpot when at 1:45 in the morning, Brian Lowe had a glass of straight Southern Comfort and was telling me how he does get drunk sometimes. It's not a normal thing. And he was going on and on. And I said,
it's not like I get drunk all the time.
When I have a place to stay, it's not like I won't get drunk. But I knew
I don't really feel comfortable getting back in the car. But, you know, and then, you know, on road trips, we have to get up the next day. We have to work. And it's a long day. So, yeah, I drink.
All right. Ken from Canton says, here's an attempt to clarify the two positions without making a blanket judgment one way or another. He's talking about the franchise tag. What you have to remember is the only difference between what Asante's potential earnings are over the next 3 years between a long-term contract of his liking and the Pats franchising him for those 3 years is if he has his way, he gets the money regardless of how he plays. And if he is franchised, he will get the money but will have earned it on the field.
I disagree with that. The big thing is security. It's injury.
Okay.
That's what the stumbling block is.
So that is the issue here, according to Ken, whether a player has to earn the money with real-time performances or whether he earned the money with past performances. The player wants the former, the team, the latter.
We'll disagree on that.
By the way, you mentioned that if he is franchised next year, he would earn $10 million. Actually, it would be a lot closer to $11 million. Remember, a player franchised for a second time gets the franchise number plus 20%. That's right. That's correct.
Yeah, so how do we know what the franchise number is going
to
be?
Whatever it is this year, he has to get at a minimum 20% more. That's the rule.
It has to be a minimum of 20% more than the franchise or 20%, whichever is higher.
Whichever is greater.
Right.
What you aren't considering is that he'd get paid that 20% based on next year's franchise number, which will be higher than the $7.79 million. So, okay. But still, Ken, it's not that simple because if it was, guys would be stumbling to be, you know, it is a security.
It's not about what you have done.
It's hard
or
playing for one-year contracts.
That's what it's all about. It's not about what you have done as opposed, you know, so Tom Brady shouldn't have gotten his contract when he got it in 2002? Of course he should have.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Of course he should have gotten the contract. He deserved it. He deserved the extension that
Although
he got.
Some writers in this
Fred,
area.
Ron Borges is the only one who tried. Come on.
All right, well.
I don't even think he trashed that because he's always liked Brady.
What, Gary? What? What do you want me to do? Just say it. I don't know what this means.
Refresh your browser while Paul's talking.
We're on the radio. They can't see this.
Yeah.
I don't know what he means.
I am a professional. I am a professional ball buster. There's no question. Anyway,
which
Tom,
one? Andy Hart?
It was an enlightening conversation with your father of which I could not tell you.
I would pay any amount of money to hear that conversation.
I could not recall one single word of it. I have no idea what we talked about. And all I can remember being just incensed at the buffoon blowhard Andy Hart who spent the last 2 hours of your wedding in the bathroom.
Disgraceful.
Claiming that it was embarrassing.
On the chair, I would have assumed he left.
I thought he went home. I didn't see him. But I should mention to the fans that Gary made me play that dummy line about the Cowboys. We actually pre-recorded that.
You know what I was gonna.
I meant to tell you that at the wedding because I knew you wouldn't know where that was from. We actually recorded that in studio because Gary put this. This was the Gary's brainchild. He put this all together, and he said,
"Don't blame this on me.
This would be funny."
Yeah, but he didn't tell you to play it during your introduction.
No, he did not. Even he was surprised by that.
I was going to say the best quote of the whole wedding was, "Had I known that he was going to play it, then I would not have done it."
Brighty from Cambridge, United Kingdom, says, "Andy is my new hero. He hates the Irish and now the French too. What a hero!" What is that?
He added the French into his Irish rant.
And Tom, did you actually invite B-Lo to your wedding, or did he just show up? Because I don't believe for a minute anyone would invite him deliberately.
He was invited.
He was invited. B-Lo was invited.
He did not crash. He's not about to make it rain out here.
Although people from that other wedding did. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The other wedding was so boring, they were coming in ours.
Yeah. Well, see, I didn't know anybody at the wedding except for our table, obviously. So.
Well, I didn't care.
Sanjaya was there.
Yeah, I did see Sanjaya. Yeah.
I didn't know who that kid was.
He was probably from the other wedding.
Craig from Box.
Sanjaya, you are going home tonight.
Hello, A-Team and The Leg.
Hey, The Leg. I like it.
All right. Just wanted to add to the Samuel conversation and say that I'm disappointed as a Patriots fan that they didn't come to an agreement. I have to say that Samuel is a top corner, and especially in this system. As a fan of the player, I think he should get as much as he can while he can. What would anyone else do in the same situation? Go for the money. Fans of every team should realize this is a job for these guys, not just a hobby.
That's true. And you can't say, well, I make $35,000 a year. Irrelevant.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
This is all based on television contracts, how much money the league's bringing in. These guys.
It's all relative. This is where it's relative, Fred.
Yeah. They entertain millions and millions of people. And I know they say, well, they make too much money. And I always go back to Game 7, Paul, the Yankees Diamondbacks World Series, that tense game, and they showed the crowd, and people were just praying to God when it was 0-0 in like the seventh inning, and people were crying, and I thought to myself, so many people care about this game right now, it's scary, and that's what sports is. So that's the position these guys are in, and that's just how much money that is out there, and if it's out there, you want to get the most. Fred's lowballing me, I'm trying to get a raise.
Right. So, but just to say, you know, $8 million, we all agree $7.79 million is a huge amount of money, but it's like your term from earlier. It's all relative.
Yep.
If you can get three times that much,
you should try.
Shouldn't you try? And sometimes these things too, we always paint it out that someone has to be wrong. Well, can't both sides have valid points in a negotiation? Because I don't really hold either side, unless Samuel decides to completely skip the whole season. And I don't think he will. We've said that right from the
top. I'm not mad at him.
I don't think that Samuel's doing anything wrong right now.
Yeah.
I don't think he's doing anything wrong. And I definitely don't think the Patriots have done one thing wrong.
And even if he does skip it, I don't think you should be mad at him. It's just, I think.
Well, I think that's a bad move for him.
I think it'd be a bad move. And I think that bottom line, push comes to shove, $8 million is a pretty good salary. So he should come back.
Rich from Howell, I would think that it would be cool to have Moss wear 6. Couldn't they make him a second or third string punter or kicker? Now, could they do that to list him as a punter to get around that rule?
No, because the NFL would come down on it.
Yeah, they'd find a way.
Especially with Randy Moss.
And with Eric.
All right.
That's right. I'd come down on him.
What was the last number 6 the Patriots had?
Rohan Davey.
Rohan Davey, good call.
Wow, that's good.
See,
good, Eric.
If it was 25 years ago, I would have had it in the tip of my tongue. The fact that it happened while I was covering the team, yeah, no chance.
Let's see. Gabe says, I hear Tom's point about Asante being the best corner in the league coming down the stretch of the season. Makes me wonder if he gave it his all, knowing that his so-called payday is coming up and he wanted to show the team his worth.
Of course he gave it his all.
So do you think that he was just being average the past 3 years and played hard his last year to hit pay dirt? Or is he really just finally understanding the Belichick system and is making fine-tuned adjustments, relying on the system to play well?
If he wasn't playing hard for the first 3 years, I don't think the Patriots would be offering him $13 million signing bonuses,
and
be thrown out of the league.
And B, there's such a thing called a learning curve. Guys just don't come into the league being all pros. He was a fourth-round pick, let's remember. He wasn't a first-round pick. He was a fourth-round pick out of, what was it, Central Florida.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He didn't play at Miami or Florida State or Texas. He came in, he learned the system, and he grew. He developed into the player he was today.
No, he's gotten better and better every year.
I guess I'm in the minority on that because I've felt like that all along. And Tom made the point a long time ago about how last year at this time I probably thought, a lot more of him than Tom did. But I look at him as a guy. I don't think he's a star. I don't think he's an elite corner, to use that phrase. But I do think he's a guy who came in, was a pretty good surprise as a fourth-round pick, and got progressively better every year. I thought in the playoffs in 2005, Fred, remember the game in Denver when he got called for the garbage pass interference?
Great game.
He had a great pick on the sideline. And I thought he played a great game. I thought down the stretch – look, Ellis Hobbs, I know, was the flavor of the month for everybody. I felt Samuel was better than him, and I felt like that all along. I still think that today. Now, he has a little more experience than Hobbs, so maybe that's not fair, but I feel like he was a guy gradually getting better who put it all together last year.
Gabe has a good PS. He says, with the breakdown of the NFL Europe, what are the roster number breakdowns now set at? I know the teams were allotted a certain number of players to count on the roster, so what are they now?
Same.
That would remain the same because those players that already played.
They played in Europe.
Next year, you won't get the NFL Europe exemption.
And won't that be nice not to have to talk about that league next spring?
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Thanks, Brent.
You're right. All right.
Thank God they're playing games over there, though.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
Going to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin. Wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What was it?
It was Summer Lovin'.
What? Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Yes. It was Summer Lovin' was the song that...
That's the one.
That was the one that made me a little uncomfortable.
I'm happy I didn't know that.
Played a show tune at your wedding?
Well, they, it was dinner
thing. He had a little skit with his sister.
Dinner thing.
Oh, really?
They had The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Really?
We had Meatloaf.
You've got a little soft-sensitive creative type in you, Tom.
He does. I didn't know
That's just all stuff from growing up.
I didn't know he was such a thespian.
Thespian? Wow. Yeah, he does like ladies.
A what?
All right.
Not only that, but he can act.
Let's Let's get back to some emails. Webradio at Patriots.com. We got a lot of emails that are coming in. PJ writes in. He says, first of all, congratulations to Tom Casale in the immortal words of Luca Brasi. May your first child be a masculine child.
Thank you.
He's doomed.
Now on to other stuff. I was reading on ProFootballTalk.com a week ago that the Packers are very interested in training for Larry Johnson. While I don't think this will happen, it got me thinking. I want to know what you guys think about this. If you were a quarterback, what would you rather acquire on your team? A stud running back to take pressure off of you or a stud wide receiver to throw the ball to? I was just thinking how Brett Favre was so upset about the Packers not getting Moss, and I was wondering if it would make him just as happy to get LJ as he would Moss. For Scalafini, ask him if he would rather have a stud holder or a stud snapper, which I'm sure are very hard to find in the Division I AA level. Also, I know Andy isn't there, but he keeps bringing up the fact that Tom Brady was looking for Troy Brown with big names on the line last year, which I don't disagree with. But he also keeps saying how bad Caldwell is and may not make the team. The problem is that I could use the same argument for Caldwell because I seem to remember him streaking down the field in San Diego last year with about 2 minutes to go. I don't think that I'm a huge Caldwell guy, but I think the argument that Brown was a go-to guy is weak if you are going to badmouth Caldwell in the same breath.
I don't think they really had a go-to guy last year.
I don't think they did either, but I think that with the game on the line,
he would look for Troy Brown.
It looked like Troy Brown was more often than not
the default guy. Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, I suppose there's a couple of ways you can look at that, but I looked at it. I agree with Andy on that. I thought that when the game was on the line, it seemed to me that Troy Brown was the target of choice.
An argument could have been made at some point for Gaffney having those big games in the playoffs. He sort of came on at the end, but I think you're right. You saw in the AFC Championship game, who was it getting
the last play, McCree didn't fumble, was intended for Troy Brown.
Right.
Caldwell made big
and
catches,
the last
too.
Play was yeah. intended for
the last
Troy
play,
Brown before
the one that
they
got
had
intercepted.
Well, no, before when they punted back to the Colts, when if they got the first down, they would have won the game.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. The last play against the last play, the third and four, before they had a punt. Because that was game, let's face it. It was unrealistic for them to go.
And wasn't the
interception? 85
yards. Threw at the end, that was intended for Brown, too, wasn't it?
That was for Watson, I think.
I thought that one was for Watson.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was something else earlier. You already deleted that email? Okay, go ahead.
I was on to the next one.
Yeah, there was something else earlier in that email that piqued my interest, but I forget what it was.
Okay.
Stud snapper or stud holder?
No, that wasn't it. Oh, yeah. What would you rather have as a quarterback? Yeah,
I'd rather have the receiver.
I would rather have the receiver,
I'm a quarterback.
Too.
I want to throw the ball.
Yeah, that's what I would feel. How would you feel?
Receiver, because I think, you can win without great receivers, too, but I think if you're a great quarterback and a great receiver, you can put pretty much anyone back there to get those 4 or 5 yards here and there. And
exactly.
You'd
look
be
at,
right.
Look at what all the talk was when Randy Moss was brought in. They're like, Tom Brady finally has a stud receiver. You know,
and why? It's going to open things up for Maroney.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Mike from the North End says, congrats, Tom, on your new brand-new shiny ball and chain. We got a few good wedding stories last week from the big mouth Andy Hart, who managed to alienate another one of his friend's wives in the process. What happened there?
Gary.
Oh.
Andy and Gary had a little friction last week.
Really?
Serious friction?
No, Gary says no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gary was really upset. He was even mad at me, and he never gets mad at me.
How can you be mad at Andy? That's Andy being
Andy. See what happens when we're not here, Fred?
Yeah. First of all, Gary
needs to him as a former backup NFL quarterback.
Can't leave you
like
two
that.
Alone for...
First of all...
What did I do?
What, Gary?
Gary's mad.
No, that was off the air, Paul.
Oh, okay.
First of all, Gary needs to work Andy saying, oh my God, it's Tom Casale in a little girl's voice last week into the open. I nearly suffocated from laughing so hard at that. The PFW in Progress fandom asks, nay, demands... video of Tom's triumphant entrance to his wedding ceremony, so I'm willing to pony up, post a video of that online, and I'll buy the whole gang lunch next week. Reaction shots from Paul, Fred, Gary, Andy, and Andy's new man crush, Maura's boyfriend, would be a bonus. You going out with Maura's boyfriend, Josh? What?
No, that's Andy's new boy Andy's, crush.
Andy's oh, Andy likes him.
Yeah.
Why was he in a girl's voice?
I don't know. I don't remember what that was. Do you?
I don't remember it.
Oh, they see they're in detente right now. He's not going to make fun of Andy.
I'll effort that.
Are you guys
efforting that?
You've made a truce?
No,
there was nothing wrong.
I'll tell you, there was a lot of tension.
Really?
Fred, it was uncomfortable. I was in your big seat.
What did
over
Andy
there.
Do?
Well, you know how Andy can be. You know, yeah. he's like picking at the scab all the time. That's
right.
Andy Hart does. There was definitely some tension there. It was uncomfortable at times for me. I took a lot of breaks.
Wow, really?
I had to take a lot of breaks because I didn't know where we were going with the show.
So they were
going
to come to blows?
Yeah, and I just wanted to make sure I was like the mediator.
What was the source of the consternation here?
Well, Andy started in on, you know, the youth of Gary's fiance.
Yeah.
Well, she's rather young.
What, is he jealous?
He's not that young.
What?
She's not that young.
She's like Andy's age.
In comparison to you.
Well, I'm not saying that she's young, but she brought homework. I mean, you know.
You know, Andy made the comment at one point that, you know, how did she email the show on her Leapfrog computer?
Oh, no, she's not that young. She's over 18, right? Anyway, on to the Patriots. Do you think this is still Mike from the North End? Do you think that the addition of Adalius Thomas will allow Bruschi to move more often to the weak side inside linebacker position where he played while Johnson and Pfeiffer were here? From my limited knowledge of the Pat system, the weak inside linebacker is more of a run and chase spot, where the strong ILB is more of a plug the hole type role. Clearly, Bruschi has traditionally been more suited to working in open space, but I was wondering whether he played strong inside last year because the Pats feel he has lost a step, or if he underperformed last year because he was playing somewhat out of position. I heard a lot about Thomas raising the play of Colvin and Vrabel by attracting pass rushing attention, but might he do the same for Bruschi by allowing him to play in a more comfortable role?
Well, first, I think his play declined a little bit because he's getting older. I don't think it has anything to do with him playing this position or that position. I think he's getting older. He's not as quick. He's not as fast. And nobody can outrun age. That's what we were saying about Corey Dillon last year. Everyone thought it was a personal attack on Corey Dillon. I didn't make him his age. That's the age he is. And when you get to a certain point, you can only do so much. And I think that's where guys like Bruschi and Harrison are. They're still warriors. They're still going to go out there and give you everything they have. But you get to a point in your career where you only have so much to give.
I agree with that, and I'm not sure how much Thomas will affect things inside, because even though he spent minicamp playing inside, and while he was playing inside, I think it was the mic spot that he was playing, I'm not sure that Belichick is going to use him there for the majority of time in the regular season. I think that Thomas made this point right from the get-go. It just seems like there's too much in terms of playmaking ability and a skill set to quote-unquote waste playing inside. I think he could be a dynamic player off the edge and doing some things in space, and I'm not sure that you're best utilizing that ability if you're putting him inside. I think Bruschi is probably going to be the Mike again, and he was the Mike in 2005, too. It's not like he never played there. You know, when Ted Johnson was healthy, he was the guy that played the Mike. But
traditional Mike position.
Right. Bruschi has played that position. It wasn't a new thing for him last year.
This is to tout, but I think it's from someone you might owe money to, so I'm not going to read it on the air.
Yeah, he found me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, is that
a good thing?
My nickname is not Tout anymore because I don't gamble. It's now Fright Night.
Fright Night Casale.
By the way, Costanza, I meant to ask you about that on an email that you sent me. Why are you giving yourself nicknames now?
I just give myself nicknames. I used to be Meathead, then Tout. Now it's Fright Night.
You mean giving yourself nicknames?
I do whatever
it's
I
like
want.
Costanza.
Does anyone else use it?
Hey, T-Bone!
Yeah,
someone just emailed in and asked for the Tout.
Well,
that's
an old one, though. That's been around for a while.
Yeah, Fright Night.
Fright Night.
No, people, don't encourage him by
Fright Night Casale.
Acknowledging that he's coming up with.
You're just talking about your wedding night? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh,
I'll tell you what. I know there's too much Google and searching, but if anyone can tell me who the original Fright Night was, I would be very impressed if you don't have to search. Although I could never tell if he did or not, but.
Okay.
So there goes that.
There is someone else who used to be called Fright Night, but I have now taken that nickname over because that person is in jail for 100 years, literally 100 years. But I am now Fright Night Casale.
Berkowitz?
No.
Oh, it was a boxer, right?
No,
okay. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. First, I have to give Carol Hardy some love. She's been very helpful and generous. She does a great job. That's great. Some Carol Hardy.
That is, without question, the first positive
from Carol Hardy.
First positive piece of feedback we've ever received on Carol Hardy.
Carol Hardy is the PFW circulation manager, does a great job.
Why are they giving her love?
He says, my wife and I are going to Hawaii in February, but that has nothing to do with it. I don't know. We are planning on stopping by Glendale for a couple days. Are there better pre-Super Bowl days to spend, and are there a lot of things for fans to do? If so, what are they?
Well, there's always a ton of things for fans to do. But
it really heats up from Thursday.
I was going to say, the closer to the game, the more activity there is.
Yeah.
Now, if you're just looking for more of a quiet thing with your wife, then I would go earlier in the week.
Right. From Thursday on, it just starts to get crazy. I almost forgot Mike Vick is a something that rhymes with Vic. I know. Yeah, you didn't get me. I know Paul doesn't care about some dogs getting mauled for human entertainment, but it is absolutely despicable. I agree. He should be banned from football permanently. My wife and I are in the Tom Casale camp. He has always been an overrated quarterback. A mobile quarterback is nice, but the last time I checked, it helps to be able to hit an open receiver. Mm-hmm. Quick question, will Vic finally be converted to a receiver when he goes to prison?
Good one. I should mention, though, that when he came in the league, I didn't think he was overrated. My problem now is he hasn't developed.
Yeah.
Like Vince Young showed me something last year, and if he shows me a little more this year, I'm going to be encouraged. Vic has never taken those steps. That's why I think he's overrated.
This whole dog thing really does disgust me, and I think
disgusting.
I would like to have them treated like a pit bull, fighting pit bull for a year, It's
and Fred, you know what? If you're too
low on the totem pole of human species, right, but it's not even fun.
I know it doesn't make it right, but if you're too down on your luck losers from the street and you do this for fun, I guess you can kind of understand it a little bit.
No, I can't.
Fred, I'm just saying if you're a nobody loser that has no life and this is what you get your kicks out of, okay, great. Then here's a millionaire NFL quarterback, the face of his franchise, and this is what he needs to do for a high. Playing in the NFL isn't good enough for you?
These guys live in a different world, Tom. You know that. You know that as well as any of us. They live in a different world. They think they play by different rules because they get away with so much stuff. Fred's right. These guys need to be taught a lesson. I hope Roger Goodell makes an example out of Mike Vick the way he was trying to with Pac-Man Jones.
It's awful.
I want to defend myself a little bit here.
You used to fight pit bulls,
I'm
right?
Very rarely am I serious on this show in any way, shape, or form. But Josh said something that I did not say in that email. I never said that I didn't care about dogs getting mutilated.
Oh, I don't.
And I never even said it tongue in cheek. What I said was, I'm not a huge dog lover. And I remember when Tom laughed at me, but this disgusts me. And I think that Vic should go to jail. I never said that I was, I didn't care if these dogs are mistreated or anything like that.
I think you have to be a despicable human being.
But I mean, not even
to look the other way on something like this.
Not even as a joke, I didn't say that. And I just wanted to make that clear. And I emailed Sawyer and Waterloo back just directly, just because I don't think it's funny to make a joke about something like
that. Listen, we're not PETA. We're not out here saying there shouldn't be horse racing and, you can't have donkey basketball or whatever these crazy people come up with. But this is just despicable and disgusting.
Well, I totally agree with that. Now, the one thing I will say that might not be in the norm with all the dog lovers, of the world have united over this whole thing. I heard people talking about it on the radio this morning saying, this is the most vile act. I can't believe... if only people got so upset about, Ray Carruth, who murdered somebody.
Right.
I do think it's a little bit warped that people seem to be more up in arms about the mistreatment of dogs than they are of people.
Paul, you're saying all those people that thought O.J. was innocent have a...
Thank you.
Yeah, remember that when half the country thought he was innocent because he played for the Bills and they showed clips of bars in Buffalo and they were going, juice, juice, juice. I mean, that made me physically ill to be honest.
Ill, yes.
All right.
But I just didn't want to be, even as a joke, I didn't want anybody to think that I was condoning, dog fighting and the apparent mutilation that has gone on in Virginia. And by the way, I am so anti-Michael Vick as a quarterback that a few years ago when he broke his leg in the preseason, I actually thought that Doug Johnson would be fine. I thought they would be fine. I made the comment on this show. I was wrong. What do you want me to tell you?
How's that Matt Schaub trade looking?
But that's how little I thought of Michael Vick as a quarterback. So I've never really been sold on his skills.
I think we all said this at the time. I did not like that trade by the Falcons because you had a new coach come in who's known for his offense. And he didn't know what he had in Michael Vick if he could run that offense. Why trade a commodity like Schaub when next year he could be your starting quarterback? Just didn't make sense to me at the time, and now they could end up paying for it.
You're right.
Okay. Bah Humbug writes in and tells Jake to go F himself. Because he didn't answer the question about Dwight Freeney. What do you guys think about the Dwight Freeney deal?
I think it's a guy that they needed to re-sign, but I think it's a ridiculous contract.
Yeah, when I see him get a sack, I'll let you know.
I think it's something to keep in mind when you start.
Well, do we know the actual details of the?
He's the highest paid defensive player in NFL history,
and
so we know that.
And a lot of it's guaranteed.
Ridiculous.
Yes, but here's the thing.
Right there.
I don't want to hear how he's getting double teamed, blah, blah, blah. I saw Michael Strahan get double teamed for 8 freaking years, and he still gets to the quarterback. If you're a pass rusher, you get to the quarterback.
Right.
End of story.
Oh, I saw so many, you know, those edge matchups and all that crap. I don't think they call it that anymore. But last year, you know, talking about, you know, his lack of production when it came to sacking the quarter, all those times were not double teams.
Right.
He was
running around
the cornerback, and guys had the book on him. They were letting him run outside.
And pushing him wide.
Yep.
You're exactly right.
I think he's a very good player.
It was not a double
team.
Yes, he
is. He's a very good player.
I think he's a very good player, and I happen to know that the Patriots coaching staff thinks he's a very good player. They think very highly of him, and they definitely have him high on the priority list in terms of their game plan. But he's not – I totally agree with
Tom. He's not the greatest defensive player ever.
Yeah, he's not a Michael Strahan who, no matter what you do to stop him – he's going to get there. You can take Dwight Freeney out of the game, or you can at the very least neutralize him the way that a lot of teams did last year when his sack total was ridiculously low. To give him that kind of money, you know, is, I think, a little bit out of whack. I don't like saying that guys overpaid for him because you get what you get paid is what you get paid.
And someone else would have given him
that's
that.
That's not a contract that I personally would have been willing to give a guy like Dwight Freeney.
And if Ty Warren has another season like he had last season and makes the Pro Bowl this year – that contract is going to be something I think that he might remember when it comes time to start talking about it.
Well, the thing with him, though, is that he doesn't – Freeney's a pass rusher, and those guys get more money than
it's almost different positions. But, you know, that's one thing. Florio, you know, we were talking about Pro Football Talk earlier. He immediately came out with what a defensive lineman around the league going to do with this contract?
Yeah,
how long is it going to take some guys –
Peppers or someone.
Oh, forget Peppers. I mean, Peppers is, in my opinion, a far superior player to Dwight. And I think a lot of Freeney.
I do,
think he's good. But Peppers is on a whole nother plane.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. Tom, congrats on finding a woman to marry you.
Thank you.
I wish they would have found a way to sign Samuel, but life goes on. What is the latest on Maroney? Do you think guys think he's 100%? How many of you think he can play all year without getting hurt?
Well, we saw him in minicamp, and we know he didn't sure
wasn't
look
100%
there.
Yeah, he wasn't 100% there. He didn't do anything.
But they don't seem to be too worried about it.
They certainly
don't. They brought in Sammy Morris, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously they think he can go.
I would guess that he's going to be ready to start the season. I do have some durability questions.
Yeah,
on
I do too. But if they thought he wasn't going to be ready to start the season, I think you would have saw Chris Brown in here because they looked into Chris Brown. They decided not to sign him. If they had serious questions about Maroney, Chris Brown would be the backup.
I agree with
that. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you next Wednesday. We're getting closer to training camp. Remember, first public practice is July 27th.